The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to the second hour of We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. So the first half was there was some bungling at the beginning. Sorry about that. And then chatted about ISIS and all that, and about all the bad things going on now. So it seemed only right that the second half we should chat about guns and Second Amendment and people's ability to defend themselves. And there are a lot of variations on what's being said out there.
Mm-hmm. A lot of fear right now too of our administration taking our guns away, an executive order, which I've heard both sides of that it's legal, it's not legal. Let's talk about that too.
Yeah, because we have a lot of gun grabbers out there. So we thought we'd bring in the sheriff because he would actually know this.
Good morning.
Be your job to know the law.
Good morning, Tom.
So we have Tom Basenko on here, who is the Shasta County Sheriff. And for those of you that are listening on the East Coast, he is in far, far northern California.
Yeah, about a couple, 3 hours north of Sacramento, which is our state capital.
Yep. Actually, we're halfway in between Medford, Oregon, and Sacramento.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Basically.
Okay, I was going to say, so we could go either way, but they already think that about California, so I probably shouldn't bring that up. And that's not so prevalent up here. All right, so you are a big concealed weapons permit. People call them different things in different places,
some
I know.
Some call them concealed carry. Some call them CCW, concealed carry weapons, or concealed carry licenses.
Oh, yeah.
It's actually a license in California. Some refer to it as permit. And within California, the chief of police in city, incorporated cities or sheriffs may issue concealed weapon licenses. It is regulated by the state. There's about a 30-page application you have to fill out, and you have to receive training. So if it's your first time concealed weapons permit, you have to get about
takes a while.
Anywhere from 8 to 16 hours of training, and that's certified.
And then you have to sit down with one of your deputies.
Here in Shasta County.
For a period of time.
Yes. And then also, California is a may-issue state. It's not a shall-issue state. And what that means is it's at the discretion of the chief of police or the sheriff of the county on what they may issue. You also have to state a good cause. In Shasta County, that good cause is self-defense or personal protection and the protection of others and to comply with the law. In other counties, it's a lot more stringent.
Like you have to carry money or be a business owner or...
But weren't they trying to change that shall issue? Wasn't there legislation just recently?
Excuse me. In fact, there's a court case, two court cases, that should be heard sometime after the first of the year by the 9th District Court of Appeals, a federal court. And that is the Peruta case, Peruta v. San Diego County Sheriff, and the Richards case, which is Richards v. Ed Prieto and Yolo County Sheriff. And that was, they felt that they had stated a good cause, they were denied, and they've taken it to court. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled on it, but it was actually kind of a middle-of-the-road ruling, didn't give any clarification, and so they're going to go to an en banc hearing by the Ninth Circuit, which means there will be at least 12 justices that will hear the argument regarding those cases.
Okay.
And so I know there are a lot of counties in California and probably all over the country that really don't issue.
That's correct. We have about 58 counties in we do have 58 counties in California. Shasta County, we have about 177,000 population, and I have about 6,700 to 6,800 concealed weapons permits. In other counties, like if you took the combined population of Alameda, Contra Costa, Santa Clara, and San Francisco counties, all in the Bay Area, you're looking at millions in population, but they only issue less than 200 permits combined out of all those counties.
Holy cow. Mm-hmm.
I think San Francisco has one or two. I believe the county of Los Angeles has approximately 1,200. But that, you're looking at millions in population.
And much less crime, too, because they don't have as many guns on the street.
Yeah, keep thinking that. Bill's being a little sarcastic there. But
All their criminals are fully armed.
Yeah. Because that's the first thing they think about is it's against the law to carry a gun, so I won't carry one.
Because we always make laws for criminals because they follow.
And our concealed weapons permit is good throughout the state of California.
Right. And so why do you think it's a good idea?
Should be a personal choice by the person that chooses to get a concealed weapons permit. That comes with a lot of responsibility on carrying. They have to, of course, get the training, and then they have to have the makeup, the mental part of their makeup has to be, they have to be prepared that perhaps they could end up taking another human life, and that's a huge responsibility there. And then they can't drink if they're carrying because they have to keep about their faculties as well. And they have to be a responsible gun owner, and they have to get training every couple of years. It's a matter of self-protection. Law enforcement, no matter how big the law enforcement agency or how small, can't be everywhere at all times. And chance favors being prepared, and that allows a citizen to be prepared. If a person chooses not to carry a concealed one, that's fine, too. If they want, they can be kind of a sheep, able to be fed upon by the wolves, and that could happen.
Well, you look at some of these places where you've had, I'll call it an outbreak of gun violence. I mean, it makes it sound like it's kind of a virus, but you have somebody who comes in there who's shooting, and it's always a gun-free zone. You know, it's a school, a movie theater, someplace where they've told everybody you can't take any weapons in.
Right.
So the only one with a weapon is the bad guy.
Correct. And many of these cases throughout the excuse me, I'm working a little bit of a cold. Many of these cases that we've seen occur throughout the nation have been persons with mental health illnesses and going into these places. There needs to be much more mental health services and mental health programs for those individuals, and perhaps a better way of looking for or accounting for those people with mental health illnesses that could be a danger to others. It's kind of a slippery slope. You don't want to have a big database of people with mental health issues, but if you have mental health issues, you probably should not be having or possessing a gun.
Sure. Well, we see people on the street all the time, you know, I think in every city, and you think...
Sandy Hook was a huge tragedy that occurred. The person that caused that was the mother of the shooter. She went out and legally purchased firearms, one of them being an AR-15 type of weapon, AR platform. And she knew her son had mental health issues. She took him out to shoot and to train with him a little bit as a way of trying to dealing with his mental health issues. That was probably not a good...
Okay, that's a really weird conclusion to come to.
It is, but that's what was out in the media. And, of course, we know if it's in the media, it has to be true. but she did take him out, and that was confirmed, take him out into shooting. Then she failed to properly lock up and store the guns. He had access to them. He gained access, loaded them up, and then went down to the school, and all the carnage occurred. That was a mental health issue and improper storage of the guns around a person that had mental health issues. It wasn't the fault of the gun.
Yeah, you know, you always hear that. Well, if we got rid of all the guns, we'd stop all this. Well, they'd just use... I mean, literally, if we were able to take away everyone's guns, including the criminals... before we had guns, we stabbed each other.
There was bow and arrows. There was rocks. There was clubs.
Yeah, I was going to say we whacked each other over the head with large pieces of wood. I
mean, right. But there are about 80 to 100 million gun owners in the nation and about 300 to 400 million guns that are owned by them that are accounted for. And so when you start looking at the percentages overall, granted, these are tragedies and people are dying, and I feel sorry for that, but... medical malpractice, more people die from medical malpractice from some surgeons and doctors or in auto crashes or because of heart attacks or cancers, but we're not banning automobiles or trucks, high-capacity vehicles that carry huge loads and can kill somebody. You don't see that. Or you don't see the banning of airplanes when they crash because they're a high-capacity carrier.
Yeah, that argument is totally ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And some people think about, too, hey, well, let's have gun turn-ins. Well, those don't work either because usually it's the law.
The buyback thing?
The buyback, or some have gun turn-ins and just for free, but others have gun buybacks. Those don't work. Those are the law-abiding citizens that I don't know what to do with my gun, and I'll turn it in. And in some cases, there are no questions asked, and criminals are turning in their guns to upgrade. Hey, I can get $100 for my Saturday night special, and then I can go out and buy a better gun.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's no questions asked, they can get a straw person to go in and turn in the gun, get the money, and maybe that gun was used in a crime. There's no questions asked, so now they're destroying evidence.
Right. Now, how did the whole buyback thing work in Australia when they turned all theirs in?
They still have guns that are in the country, and they still have a spike going up with gun violence.
In Australia, though you're not allowed to have, supposedly their whole country doesn't have any guns?
You got guns in the outback in different places. Sure. I mean, you can look that up. I mean, same thing, too, if they had mandatory turn-ins here, not everybody's going to turn in their gun. And even confiscations, you're going to still miss them. Like I said, with trying to find 400 million guns, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, kind of unlikely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. And we were chatting before the program in the news break there, and we were talking about the history on the Second Amendment. So, how about Bob? Are we good to go?
Sure.
All right, we'll take a little break and then come back with that. I know you said you had 3 hours of material, but
we'll try and condense it down.
We're going to do the condensed version because, right. You know, I just get sick and tired of saying that, you know, if you don't hunt, you don't need a gun, and that's what the Second Amendment is for. That just
Second Amendment has nothing to do
that just makes,
about
that
hunting.
That just makes gun owners go berserk.
Yeah.
But, you know, we should put some history out there.
Okay.
That way people will know that that's wrong and why. We'll be right back. You are listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be back with the sheriff, chatting a little bit more about guns.
Well, you filled up my head with so many lies. You twisted my heart till something snapped inside. I'd like to give it one more try, but my give a damn's busted. These days I go down to Walmart and they sell them in the back. Some people want to take them away. Why don't you go bust them for us at selling crack? Guns, whether Remingtons or Crocs. Come on, man, it ain't like I'm a slinging them on the block. And listen, son, as long as I'm alive and breathing, you won't take my guns.
Well, there you go.
Hey, before we move on to the history portion, what
of the program?
Of the program, yes. Talk to me about the no-fly list.
There has been some controversy about the no-fly list and some thought processes of if you're on the no-fly list, should you be restricted from the ability to purchase firearms or even maybe have firearms? And that's a very debatable issue. My gut instinct would say, yeah, that makes common sense. But then what's the criteria for getting on the no-fly list? And is there some type of due process if you get on there, and how do you get off? Wonder if your name is John S. Smith, and there's a whole bunch of John S. Smiths, and you're on that list.
Yeah.
How can you get your name cleared off of there?
Yeah, and that's the big concern, because I know it's there's no due process to get on the list, but it could take a long time to get off the list.
Oh, yes. Just recently, someone contacted me, and they were restricted. They said that they were a prohibited person from buying a firearm. And they did some research, and the person had never basically committed a crime, and found that a court in California and a law enforcement agency had messed up and confused him with another person by the same name and whose date of birth was off by one day. And now he's trying to get that squared away. I helped him out and met with them and called the law enforcement agent and spoke to some of their records clerks, and they said, yeah, this has happened before. And so he may end up having to go down to court and prove himself that, hey, this is really me. I'm not the bad guy, John Smith. I'm the good guy, John Smith, and that's going to take some time and money. Unfortunately,
and that can happen a lot. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, when you look at how many people own weapons or want to buy a weapon, And, you know, how big the country is.
It's a big world.
It's a big world.
You can have the same name.
And it just takes one person to make that call.
There's another fallacy out there. The president said basically, in error, I know that's shocking, but the president said that it's easier to buy a gun than it is a book. Well, obviously, he's never purchased a gun, because even in states that do not require a state background check, all firearms require a background check through them when you're buying them through a dealer. It has to go through a federal, national information check system, instant check system. It's called NICS, and it has to go through them. Some states don't restrict purchases from private parties. You can just make it
right. And that, I think that's a loophole they're trying to close up. These gun shows, you can walk in some states.
And in California, you have a mandatory 10-day waiting period.
Even at gun shows, right?
At gun shows, because you have to go through a licensed firearm dealer to be legal in California through there. And so all those things are only affecting law-abiding citizens. The 10-day wait period was developed after JFK was assassinated. And then it was designed as a cooling off period, so you just couldn't purchase a firearm and walk out with it at the same time.
And we voted to get rid of that in California as well, and they've got that back in court, don't they?
They do. It's a court ruled in favor and basically said if you were a concealed weapons holder or if you had purchased a firearm within the last, I want to say, month or so, you did not have to wait 10 days and go back through all the requirements for that.
That does seem kind of stupid because you already have a weapon, so it's like, you wouldn't be
right,
but I think that only applies to long guns. I think handguns, aren't you restricted to one handgun every 30 days?
Yeah, one a month, and so that is a restrictive there.
Okay.
So, you know, the history about the Second Amendment was interesting. I did some research for a friend of mine, and ended up, you know, writing pages and pages of how it all developed, and was kind of surprised myself. So I got to learn a little bit. In addition to that. But the Second Amendment says that, as I think through all my pages here, Second Amendment says that a well-regulated militia, being necessary for the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. A pretty simple statement, but that's what causes a lot of heated debates and polarization within our legislature and our nation. And the Second Amendment, that you didn't hear nothing in there about hunting. So it's not about hunting.
Yeah.
It's
did you hear that a lot?
Or self-defense. It's about whether the Second Amendment recognizes the right of each citizen to keep and bear arms to state governments and empowers each state to maintain a military force. So it's not about the military either. It's about the militia. The militia was about individuals protecting the state rights. And it actually started developing from our forefathers even before they came to America and wanted to declare their independence. But basically, through Old England, Charles II molded a militia loyal only to the throne, and then disaffected persons who were not allowed to assemble and seize their arms. And that came about from the Game Act of 1671 and led to the seizure of firearms by other than those who were qualified to hunt.
And interesting.
Then later, Parliament passed a law that said seized firearms and had to be returned to the subject so they can keep their arms as to be allowed to accept for poaching. So they regulated that. You can't go out and commit a crime, but they wanted you to be able to regulate it. And they weren't allowed, and not allowed to stockpile, but allowed to defense of their home and themselves. And then later there was a civil war about it. And then Blackstone, who had the Blackstone Law Dictionary, said the right to keep arms was an absolute. And another guy, Harrington, believed that an armed population was a popular for government's best protection against enemies, foreign and domestic. Where have you heard that before?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no kidding.
In our oaths of office that we all elected officials and many government workers take. And in Japan did not want to invade the United States on our home ground because the Japanese general said that they believed that they would not be able to win that because there was a gun behind every blade of grass.
Mm-hmm.
And that was going to the armed public.
And I think that's still a concern with a lot of foreign countries. I mean, when they think about invading this country, that would not be an easy task.
So a militia was a body of people, and it was not the military. And even our founding forefathers, when they were developing the Constitution and the amendments, there was a lot of discussion amongst them on about arming citizens. And there was the two groups. There was the Federalists and the Anti-Federalists. Both sides believed that the main danger to the Republic was a tyrannical government. And remember, they came from England mm-hmm. and under that tyrannical government. And then the ultimate check was an armed population. And they had disagreed on several issues of whether it was whether there were sufficient checks to balance and balances in place of a national government to control oppression. And then the Anti-Federalists believed that the Bill of Rights should be incorporated into the Constitution to guarantee these certain rights. And both sides agreed that citizens had a right to be armed, and it was an essential element to preserving liberty. And if you look through history, too, the countries that have had strict gun control or have been under the charge of a dictatorship, all of them have led to this, has started out with the seizure of firearms mm-hmm. From the common person. It went back to ancient China, and then that's how the development of flailing instruments, such as nunchucks and some other flailing instruments, that's how those became weapons, because they were used to separate the rice from the chaff, and those were flailing instruments, but they later developed them into weapons. And then we saw the genocides that occurred in Nazi Germany. It started out with the seizure of firearms and books from the public. And then when they had no way to defend themselves, the government was able to rule over these people, and then, of course, the genocide occurs. And it's occurred in Poland and other countries as well.
So what do you think? You think it's just kind of ignorance from people who think that we need to get rid of all the firearms, that's going to solve the gun violence problem?
I think it's ignorance can be maybe a little bit of a negative word, but I think it's a lack of understanding to fully understand where our Second Amendment rights come from importance not to be disarmed, not only for self-protection, but to be avoided by getting ruled over by a tyrannical government. And no way am I condoning to say, let's overthrow the government, but that's what the Second Amendment was in place for.
Well, at the end of the day, the police are not required legally to protect us. Because if they were, then any of us that got hurt and a policeman didn't stop it, they'd be on the hook.
And you can't be, far as the peace officers,
everywhere.
I've been doing this job for 37 years as a deputy sheriff and been about 8 years as sheriff of this county. My hat's off to my brothers and sisters in arms of law enforcement throughout our nation. We do a great job. We're the ones that pull on our gun belts every day and go out and face unknown and known dangers. We're the ones that are running to danger versus running away from it.
Can you guys deal with all the people we hope we never meet?
Well, and then if you saw on the recent news blast of the incident down in San Bernardino, one San Bernardino County Sheriff's deputy was leading a group of people out of a building. And he said, basically, I got this, and I'll take a bullet for you before anything else.
Oh, that's right. I did
hear that
interview.
And that has gone viral over the internet and news. And that's what we do. 9/11. There was men and women of law enforcement, NYPD, and the other law enforcement groups running into the building, along with our fire brothers and sisters running in there to save lives. And then we've seen just this year alone in the United States, there's been about 117 officers killed in the line of duty. And although less than half of those have been from gun violence. There's been a good majority that have been killed by traffic accidents, both driving fast or getting hit by another vehicle.
Sure. I mean, if we didn't have guns, to go back to it, we'd have bows and arrows and swords and sticks and, stuff happens.
There's been a lot of discussion about the which I don't like, the label of the militarization of police.
Mm.
That's where we've gotten a lot of our development of our protective equipment and firearms is from the military.
Test it all out and then you guys can use it.
Before Vietnam, sure, there really wasn't any SWAT teams. And then after Vietnam, as our men and women were coming back from from the war, that's where some of them started to develop special weapons and tactics for the calls. And that's how SWAT developed. We have fully automatic weapons. We have armored vehicles. There was at least 5 armored vehicles that were deployed down in San Bernardino for the protection of the officers and for protecting the people. Armored vehicles started out in the military.
Mm-hmm.
Those are necessary for us to do our job, help protect the community, and help protect people.
See, and the bad part is when you see those instances where, you know, the person's in all the bulletproof stuff and, you know, and they've got the helmets on and all that, and it looks scary, you know, especially when it's something that's sort of benign and they go running in there in their SWAT gear. And that's what people are constantly being shown.
And
they don't show where it actually
does. And there's a way for law enforcement to acquire military equipment that it isn't being used. It's called the 1033 program. And put used to it. We can
get
that.
It's a way you can get equipment that basically your county can't afford. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
You know, like for an MRAP, and an MRAP is a mobile mine-resistant vehicle. Those are heavily armored, but those can be used in civilian for law enforcement, just like an armored vehicle.
Sure.
They cost about $750,000, almost $1 million, but you can get them free from the military and go from
there.
Well,
and at the end of the day, I guess properly used, the taxpayers have already paid for them.
Oh, absolutely.
So as a taxpayer, I mean, when you just look at it from from the nuts and bolts of being a taxpayer, you've already paid for it.
Well, right. I think the key, there is
you.
Properly used, and I think
that
that's
is.
Where a lot
that's really
a lot
important.
Of folks are really kind of coming unhinged on that whole thing is why does law enforcement have to have this? Because they have been used in situations a little bit aggressively. But
sure, like
would you want to be a law enforcement officer and have to tackle what was going on down in San Bernardino without one?
Yeah.
I mean, chase a guy down in a squad car that's shooting automatic weapons at you?
Or if we go back to the North Hollywood bank robbery that occurred in Los Angeles, there was 2 well-armed criminals who had very lengthy rap sheets. That's your criminal history for those on the East Coast. that had long rap sheets. And they had armed themselves with fully automatic weapons, either altered them or purchased fully automatic weapons, also covered themselves in body armor, and the law enforcement, LAPD, was not able to bring them down because they had handguns. And so they'd also amped themselves with painkillers, and so they could not feel pain, and they were out shooting up the out in the city as they exited the bank. And I think there was 2 officers that went to a nearby gun store and said, hey, give me one of those and one of those, and started loading magazines to take it back to the gunfight because they did not have the rifles to have at least on an equal footing there.
And so our gun laws and all that it's irrelevant.
And then shortly after
in
that,
circumstances
LAPD
like that.
Acquired quite a number of used M16 rifles from the military through the 1033 program.
Mm-hmm.
And so these 2 individuals were well-armed, had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of rounds of ammunition, and went to rob a bank and then came out and engaged law enforcement.
Who had revolvers. And
yeah, and it was a result of the SWAT team. There were some on-duty SWAT officers that responded, and some were off-duty. And you saw one of them running up. It was like he was in tennis shoes and shorts. Well, he was off duty, had his equipment, ran to the danger, and teamed up with his colleagues to neutralize the threat to these individuals were doing to law enforcement and to the public.
Hmm. When we come back, let's talk about what an armed public, not running around, you know, waving guns over their head, but I mean, what does an armed public do for crime in their areas?
Because we'll
got some interesting stats on
that.
A lot of times get buried in the media stories. So, take a really quick break. We'll come back with the sheriff, talking about the Second Amendment, gun rights, stuff like that. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
You wrote a stranger one fine day. Hardly spoke to folks around him, didn't have too much to say. No one dared to ask his business, no one dared to make a slip. The stranger there among them had a big iron on his hip. Big iron on his heel.
Time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking. I could afford one. If I did just a little less drinking time.
always a good time, isn't it?
That was a pretty good bump music there, Bob.
Yeah, yeah. Got a lot of... I mean, that's got to be target rich, eh? The gun topic.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot out there in the musical universe.
Nice.
We have some talk on the chat about whether Shasta County has a MRAP or any of the local counties have MRAPs. What do you say about that, Tom?
Well, for an MRAP is a mine-resistant mobile vehicle. It's used in the military, very heavily armored against IEDs and other types of military weapons. And so we do not have an MRAP here, but we do have a bear. It's also a Bearcat. It's like an armored car, if you will, an armored truck.
It's like a Brinks truck.
Kind of. Yeah. It's a little bit smaller than that, but it can resist. It has bullet-resistant glass in it, bullet-resistant armor on it.
Tires.
And bullet-resistant tires as well.
Because the drawback on the MRAP is that it's super, super heavy.
It is very heavy, and then oftentimes for a civilian, and it's very wide. And it can be top-heavy, so you can't... it's not like a patrol car you can go speeding around in. It takes a while to get there. And so it can also break down the roads. And if you're in county areas, and we're in a rural area in Shasta County, if you go on dirt roads, especially it's been raining here recently, that thing will sink out of sight due to its weight. You could break through a septic system as well and cause some problems due to its weight. So, but there are law enforcement agencies that have them. They've acquired them free from the military and can be very useful. A Bearcat, I think, is around $400,000 price, and that's pretty spendy for any agency, but especially small agencies.
But if you could pull something like that up on a city street, you could shield a lot of people behind it.
We could. You could rescue people with it.
Yeah.
You'd be able to deploy or insert law enforcement closer to the objective. We used it here about a year or two ago. There was this person barricaded and shooting from an upstairs apartment. And as our SWAT personnel pulled up in our armored vehicle, the person fired upon that. That vehicle took some bullet strikes from the suspect. Our SWAT team returned fire and then neutralized the individual that was in the up in the apartment, meaning he was killed.
Right.
Fully rehabilitated, I thought, is what that was.
It's some people have referred to it as that.
Well, you know, I think another thing folks need to realize is, you know, 20, 30 years ago, it was a different world. I mean,
absolutely.
I mean, cops didn't run around with automatic weapons. And, you know, like my dad was law enforcement for 30 years. And he told me one time in his whole entire career, he had his gun out of his holster one time in the line of duty. Law enforcement today, almost every day you run into something, and it's different.
We're in pursuits, finding armed subjects, and the officers have to have the tools to be able to do their job. And some of those tools include, of course, sidearms, sometimes with a lot of ammunition. They have their standard shotgun, which here is a Remington 870 pump-action shotgun. And then our standard issue rifle is a Ruger Mini 14 with 20-round magazines, and many of the officers carry their own AR type rifles, usually in .223, but some have .308s and capacity magazines.
But you got to remember, the criminals have those too.
They do.
They didn't have those before. I mean, but now they do. And so, if you don't, you roll up on a scene with a revolver, I mean, you're in trouble.
Right.
Yeah, you're in deep trouble. So, okay, what about these cities, especially big cities or large cities around the country that have super restrictive gun laws? You know, you're basically never getting a concealed carry permit unless you're the mayor or, you know, Dianne Feinstein or something like that. And so your citizens technically don't have any guns, and yet they have massive amounts of gun violence.
You can take New York, Washington, D.C. I know that's not a state, but it's a district.
Sure.
High crime rate there. Very restrictive on guns. Chicago.
Chicago's a poster child for gun laws.
Just over the recent holidays of Labor Day, 4th of July, they had something like nearly 30 people killed by gunfire, and at least that many or more that had been wounded. Very restrictive. Well, it wasn't the law-abiding citizen going out and do that. It was your drug dealers and thugs and criminals running around killing people and rival gang people. And unfortunately, people get caught in the middle of that, too. Innocent people. I mean,
exactly.
There's kids that
they always
get an errand around.
Poor child.
Yes.
Okay, so what about the places that have had things like that and have then decided, you know, maybe we should allow our citizens to own firearms?
Generally,
what's the statistic for places where people own firearms?
You could do a course of Google on this. I'm not going to give specifics, and then of course, you know how statistics get utilized.
Right.
But generally, the states that have more what I consider reasonable, and some people would say lenient, gun laws where people can have guns, have less crime.
Hmm. Imagine that.
City of Los Angeles. The chief there is very concerned about high crime and violent crime that has been spiking recently. They're very, very restrictive on guns in Los Angeles. In fact, they recently passed an ordinance to ban magazines that have greater than 10 rounds. Well, there's already a state law for that, and so that's preempting state law, and that's why myself and 29 other sheriffs decided to sue the city of Los Angeles and say, hey, we already got state law on that. There was no law enforcement exemption, so like an off-duty law enforcement officer traveling into Los Angeles or traveling through the city of Los Angeles would be in violation of that ordinance. That didn't make any sense.
Oh, yeah, that doesn't make any sense. Okay, so and how do the restrictive magazine things, what does that do?
Again, if you're proficient in the exchange of your magazines and meaning for reloading, you can reload well under 1 second. And so you could have a lot of 10-round magazines.
And it doesn't keep the criminals from having
them. No, they're going to go and get them. Yeah. You could go to here, and you could go to an adjoining state, Oregon and Nevada, and illegally purchase them and bring them back into the state. But
it's legal to get them there.
It's legal to get them there, but it's illegal to import them into California. But the criminals, that's not going to restrict them.
No, they don't care. They're going to buy them.
Right.
What about the new laws concerning school zones?
In California, you can't. It's 1,000 feet within a school. You cannot possess a firearm, or that's even driving through a school zone. So if you're on a roadway, you'd actually technically be in violation. And currently, at least for a few more weeks, if you are a concealed weapons permit holder, you can carry on school grounds, colleges, and universities. As of January 1st, the governor signed into law a bill that prohibits that now. You no longer have the exemption, so you cannot carry on a school ground your concealed weapon unless you have the permission of the school superintendent, which I don't know if any school superintendent will allow that to happen.
So anybody who's going there to shoot people knows nobody's going to shoot back.
Right.
Until the police respond, which mm-hmm. could be...
There was an incident a number of years ago down in Los Angeles where an active shooter came onto a school campus, and there was an off-duty officer on the school campus, and he engaged the suspect and killed him. And had he not been there, there could have been more carnage. Right.
Yeah. I just
the media says, hey, citizens don't intercede, and they don't prevent that. That's because it's not reported by mainstream media.
That it doesn't happen.
That's right. In Portland, there was a shooting in a mall there that was going on, and a citizen with a concealed weapons permit saw that. He took cover being defined as something that can stop a bullet, withdrew his weapon, and the shooter saw that this person had a gun, and then took his own life.
Wow.
So it stopped it
mm-hmm.
by seeing that.
Right.
And so there's an excellent video that's also put out. You see a lot of these things about active shooters, and that could occur anywhere in your town, USA, small or large. An excellent video by L.A. County Sheriff's Department put out on responding to mass shootings or an active shooter, and it's for mainly the civilians or schools, and it's about run, hide, and fight. So if you can get out and run and run away from the danger, your chances improve about surviving the incident. If for some reason you can't run, and this is like a, I don't know, 20 to 40-minute video, if you can't run, then you hide and try and hide behind cover. Again, cover prevents a bullet from going through it. Concealment conceals you. It could be like behind a curtain. That's concealment, but a bullet can pass through it.
Mm-hmm.
And then fight is you can lock a door, hide under a desk, do some things like that. And then fight, if you can't do any of those things, use improvised weapons. It could be a broom, a shovel, You can take a fire extinguisher, hit a person over a head with it, or discharge the fire extinguisher in the person's face, and then try and get away.
And this is it's a video where?
You can go to the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department. I think it's LASD.org, if I'm not mistaken. And then you'd have to find it on their website there. But it's very good.
I'll find it and post it. Have to take a last really quick break, and then we'll come back with some final thoughts. Kind of talk some about the police shooting thing, because that's all on our chat room. People are talking about that. So we should find out how much of that is happening, really, or how much we're just hearing about it. And causing all that. You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Jingle bells were ringing, I said, hey, take your deer and get flying. A voice says, ho, 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 how are you? Merry Christmas to you tonight. I said, it's 3 a.m., I don't need toys, I got a machine gun under my bed. So keep off of my roof, or I'll have to blast your candy ass out of that sled. I say, hey, you, get off of my house. Hey, you, stay off of my house. Hey, you, get off, you big louse. Don't hang around, or I'll shoot you down from this house.
What a cheerful Christmas song.
never heard that one, Bob. Wow.
How do you
that was messed up on several levels. Yeah. It was supposed to be Frank Sinatra covering the Rolling Stones.
Nice.
With a Christmas rewrite.
How do you jam up Santa and guns, huh?
So just before the break, you were talking about some questions from the chat room.
Check.
Check or Chuck?
Check.
And so what were those questions?
Roger that, Red Rider.
Yeah.
Okay, so obviously big in the news these days, you know, are police shooting citizens, armed and unarmed. The bad part is a lot of them are armed. You know, the Michael Browns and that kind of thing, you know, they were running toward them, not away from them. But the actual, you know, when the story finally comes out, that part gets muddled on page 10.
Right.
So, there are bad policemen. And there are policemen who shoot people and they shouldn't have. And
in fact, we're seeing that in... Is that in Chicago? Where is it where the officer is being prosecuted for murder from the shooting?
That's Chicago.
Yeah, in Chicago. Law enforcement is part of society, and that's where that's where we recruit our people.
Sure.
And we do backgrounds, and we do psychological examination. We try and recruit the best people that we can to work there. But we're also human, and humans do make mistakes, and they're also bad people. Some of them become in law enforcement. That's very unfortunate, but law enforcement as a whole is very well trained and very well vetted in their hiring processes, at least here in California. I can't speak for every other state. And then on top of that, what you don't hear from the media is the literally tens of millions or perhaps even hundreds of millions of contacts every year by law enforcement throughout the nation. And those are generally good contacts. The ones that end up that are bad contacts with citizens' complaints or a bad shooting or a corruption, those are less than one half of 1%. It's still bad, but overall, law enforcement, we're the last line of defense between an uncivilized, chaotic society and an organized and civil society. Where that line?
There's no perfect way to do it.
No.
You know, there's just no...
Gee, there's people that go into elected offices like the legislature that end up being corrupt and taking bribes. Here in California, we had a state senator who was a big anti-gun state senator.
Leland Yee.
Yes, and he ends up hooking up with a gangster, a shrimp boy, and dealing in fully automatic weapons to organize crime and others.
And his name really was Shrimp Boy.
It was.
Yeah.
And Yee got sentenced to federal prison.
Yeah, he was actually trying to broker a deal on shoulder-fired rockets from, what, Muslim Brotherhood or something?
I don't know
out of New
who
Jersey.
The group was, but here, like, he was like Mr. Anti-Gun here in California, one of them. And there he is brokering fully automatic weapons and shoulder-fired rockets. It's unreal. So
yeah,
it does happen.
You should look up Leland Yee just for fun if you haven't already.
If you get a chance, no matter where you may be, but if you see a law enforcement officer, thank him or her for the job that they do. That can mean a lot. I try and remember to thank our veterans. I know a person's a veteran for the job that they've done for our country.
Mm-hmm.
And the same goes for your law enforcement, because generally when people don't know who to call, they call law enforcement. And when there's an emergency, they call law enforcement. We're the ones that come and respond to the calls and try and handle the incidents.
And in the meantime, you recommend people get some training on firearms?
I do.
If they're interested in that.
And get good training, and it's ongoing training. So it can be from an NRA-certified law enforcement instructor. Depends on what your state laws are. In California, there's instructors that are certified by law enforcement. And then there's other places, some good training, like on the West Coast in Las Vegas area, is called Front Sight. Good place.
Yeah, that is a good organization.
Nice. And I put the Surviving an Active Shooter link on the page. So
and learn a little
bit
more.
That whole thing's there.
Go to the California Rifle Pistol Association website, Gun Owners of California website, Gun Owners of America, and NRA, and learn a little bit about your rights as a citizen to have guns.
Because owning guns is not about hunting.
That's right.
That's not the second. The Second Amendment is not about hunting.
Thanks for coming in, Tom. We appreciate it.
Enjoy it.
Thanks. Well, fellas, we survived another 2 hours. You've been listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. See you next week.